Welcome to New Creation Fellowship's Proclamation Podcast. The vision of New Creation Fellowship is to live out heaven's cultural values through creative, redemptive innovation, so that people from all nations may experience the glorious reality of new creation in Christ. Next time you're in the Orlando area, we'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning liturgy. Just visit our website at newcreationorl.org for more information on NCF. And now, may you receive the proclamation of the Word of God as it truly is the Word of God.
Every time we hear the Word of God proclaimed, every time you read the Word of God, it's an opportunity for you to grow.
Yeah.
We don't just listen to sermons for the sake of having more knowledge,
right,
but we listen with the intent of hearing what the Lord has to say to us,
yeah,
and we then follow suit with amen and obey.
Amen. Right. That's good.
Even as you're sitting in your room and you're going through the scriptures, it's an opportunity for you to encounter the person of the scriptures, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Let me say this. No one in this room has mastered being a follower of Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah.
A disciple, in essence, is a student, a learner. And that's a lifelong thing until you take your last breath or till the Lord returns.
Yeah.
Now, by any chance you have mastered Christianity, the elders give you an offering to come see us after the gathering, and we will give you our titles and roles and position because we need to sit at your feet. And we really do mean that. New Creation Fellowship is not perfect. No local church is perfect because there are no perfect people.
Wow.
New Creation is always trying to grow and evolve. And there's a lot of areas that we can grow as a community. There's a lot of vision and a lot of things that we desire to do. But here's what we don't want to do. We don't want to outpace the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We want to be who we're called to be,
yeah,
in the timing that we're called to be it, to the degree that we're called to be it.
Amen.
Because in the Lord's eyes, that is success.
Yeah.
And not the things that we historically think are success.
Yeah.
As we look in the book of Acts, we see things that unfortunately are not the primary things that we see in the Western church today. We see things like people being filled and full of the Spirit, charitable, hospitable. We see people, while they're being stoned, Stephen, he looks up and repeats the Lord of his Messiah, the words of his Messiah, and literally says, "Lord, don't hold this sin against them." Mm-hmm. Yet what we find in the American church is that we are wrestling against flesh and blood,
mm-hmm, yeah,
when we are instructed not to.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say this? We have one enemy, and it's not anyone in this room.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that one more time. We have one enemy, and it is no one in this room. And that's going to be very important as we go through this text, because we are going to see the presence of that Genesis 3 evil one who is cunning, who is relentless, and who is always in subtle ways trying to do one thing, and that's destroy the plan of God and to cause his creation to be in disunity. We hear so much about pastors falling and lacking integrity, but I'm gonna take a moment to dote a little bit. I am surrounded by two of the most godly men I've ever met.
Yeah.
And it's an honor to serve alongside them. I'm pastored by them. We are fellow slaves in a city that none of us are from. And the thing that keeps us encouraged and holds us together is that we really do believe that God has a mission on this earth for us to accomplish in Orlando. Pastor Rekha was recently in Turkey, and I was very happy for him.
Don't say that.
See, y'all know me. But I text him verbatim, I, and that's A-I, I-I-G-H-T. Come home now. And I'm sure Britt and the kids was like, amen, while he was over there reciting Ephesians in Ephesus, which was glorious and beautiful. I was like, come on to E. Orlando, where the Lord has need of thee. Can y'all help me honor my brothers and my friends, please? Yeah. And the reason I felt the Lord have me do all of that is because we hear so much doom and gloom, but there are people around this world. There is a remnant of people who still believe that Jesus saves. There's a remnant of people who still believe that God has a mission and a plan for the church. There's still a group of people who get up out of their bed and say, you know what? We are going to worship that man Jesus because he resurrected from the grave. We have met pastors around this city, around this time, people like Pastor Dustin in Orlando Baptist Church, whom we gathered with in worship. People from out of the state like Pastor Philip at 2819, where they would just love us from afar, but they give to make sure that we are able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a mission. I feel burdened by the Lord to remind us that there is a mission. And I'm afraid that the way that we are historically taught, it is a me-ology.
Wow. Yeah.
Where it puts us more inward than what the text calls us to be people who are on the Great Commission. Yeah. That in the words of Dallas Willard has become the Great Omission. Wow. Because we are more concerned with us and our silo things than the mission of God.
Wow.
The entire narrative of scripture, God was calling a people group to first all love, trust, obey, honor, revere, and respect him. And then from the overflow of that, 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 that his attributes of beauty and goodness would now be imparted through his people in this world. Jesus came on the scene and said, the world is bland. They need a little salt. So I'm going to season my people with my spirit. It's going to be a little dark, but I'm going to shine my light in my people.
Yeah.
So that to this broken world, they will see hope.
Yeah.
That is the narrative. And we see the beautiful book of Acts, where we get to see that happen.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
We're Jews and Gentiles. It is so many. Ooh, let me give y'all a little Bible thing. When you're in Acts, just highlight different cities, different regions and different areas. And you're going to see how the gospel was already preordained to infiltrate everywhere to the ends of the earth. And we see the group of people who were like, yes, Lord.
Yes.
Now it did take persecution.
Yeah.
But they still obeyed. And then we go deeper into Acts 12. Where we see now one of my favorite people in the scriptures, Peter. I was uncomfortable with Peter, but now I found out that's because I am Peter. I have very high moments. And then I say, Lord, far be it from you to go to the cross. And I'm called Satan and I'm rebuked. Because the challenge is my mind can easily navigate toward earthly things and lose sight of the things that are spiritual. That he calls us to seek and set our minds after. And here's the beautiful part about all of that. The Lord has allotted mercy and grace. Didn't we just say he's abounding in mercy and grace? And when we fall short, he never does. And the beautiful thing about the gospel is that we get his grain. The vision of new creation is to live out heaven's cultural values through creative redemptive innovation so that people from all nations may experience the glorious reality of new creation in Christ. That is not clever. That is biblical. There is a mission. I feel compelled. The Lord put in my heart that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers and those that will labor are few. Christianity has to come out of this huddle, and we have to go and play the game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Our grocery store should not be safe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Our jobs should not be safe. Because when you see the people in the book of Acts, in one moment, the Lord would just descend upon them. And the moment that was natural became supernatural because of the spirit that is in them. I have good news for us. The same spirit that bodily resurrected Jesus from the grave, it lives inside of you that belong to him. It lives inside of you that belongs to him. Grace is not just a theology. It is a pardon and it is a power. It enables us to do that which we can't do in our own strength. My question to the Western church is, do we engage the Spirit of God that lives inside of us? Or do we say that's for the charismatics?
Wow.
Most times when people think of the Holy Spirit, they think of the Tasmanian devil for some reason. Like there's just no order to him and he's just going everywhere. But the Holy Spirit, which we are told will be our comforter, will be our teacher, who will reveal Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit is not a stepchild to the Trinity, but a very active present person in the Trinity. Mm-hmm. And so with all of that, we look at Acts 12. And what we're going to see in Acts 12, we're going to see intense persecution that's going to be met with intense prayer. And it's going to be intense intervention.
Wow.
Okay. I'm going to say that again. Intense persecution, intense prayer, and intense intervention. Verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church to do them harm. A little history on this person is Herod Agrippa I, the grandson of Herod the Great, who tried to kill baby Jesus. And the nephew of Herod Antipas, who helped send Jesus to the cross. What a family legacy. This is probably one of the first times that it was legally sanctioned for Christians to be persecuted. Following Jesus, my brothers and sisters, is the greatest decision you will ever make in your life.
Amen.
But Jesus also made it very clear that in this life you will have trouble.
Yeah.
But he says, take heart, for I have overcome the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is why it's essence for us to exalt the name that's above every name.
Yeah.
Because if you are the center of theology, you will run.
Yeah. Jesus.
When intense persecution comes.
Wow.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the person that we are reading about, he ran at the thought of persecution. That was the denial. And then we see Jesus and John at the end restore our brother Peter. And he then told him of the persecution that's to come. Peter, something interesting in that the Lord showed me. He remembered John, the one whom Jesus loved. He remembered when John laid his head on Jesus' chest and was like, yo, which one of us are going to betray you? And Peter asked the question, well, what about him? You told me about my suffering. What about him? Jesus said something so significant to him. If I allow him to remain, what is it to you? You follow me. In other words, a tendency in the church is for us to compare persecution. When God has said that each one of us in this room have an allotted circumstance. And the thing that we are to do is what he told Peter, follow me. Follow after me. What's interesting about even this persecution is that it is nothing compared to what Nero would do later. Christians were burned as light torches. It's intense evil, y'all. And because of our fear, theologically, we ignore what the evil one is subtly doing. If you get a chance, go back and listen to Genesis 3, two parts. Pastor Recap faithfully laid out a scouting report on the evil one. The Lord was showing me that, yes, our circumstances are nuanced, but our need is the same, and we need him.
We do.
I'll speak for myself. I need him.
I need you.
Something that I noticed in this text as well with this family legacy, and I want to speak to my brothers. You are leaving a legacy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What legacy are you leaving? This is three different generations of evil.
Yeah.
My prayer is that in this culture, that there will be multitudes of generations of faithfulness and fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's important. What this also shows us is that you are either working with God or you are working against God.
Yeah, that's good.
We live in a culture that tries to say that there is a middle place. But in the words of Pastor Ike, you are either accepting or rejecting.
That's right. Yeah.
And this Herod lineage was literally saying, we reject anything that has to do with Jesus. In my early church, they used to say, where do you stand? Who's on the Lord's side? And the response was, I don't know about you, but I'm on the Lord's side.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask a question to New Creation Fellowship. Is anybody on the Lord's side?
Yeah.
It's very important.
Yeah.
He wanted to do harm. Verse 2. And he had James. He had James, the brother of John, executed with a sword. Me and Pastor Recap and Ike, we don't laugh at them, we laugh with them. When James and John went to Jesus and they were like, yo, let us holler at them two seats on your right and your left. In other words, let us be your first class sergeant lieutenants. Jesus said to them, you have no idea what you are asking. He said, now, it's not even my seats to give you, but you will drink this cup. This is the cup that he was asking for, that he did not know he was asking for.
Wow.
Woo.
Wow.
And he said to James, the brother, and he had James, the brother of John, executed with the sword. This would have been earth-shattering for the early church. They saw Stephen, but this is like one of the three, y'all.
Yeah.
Can I tell you what that tells us? And I promise you there's hope in the Lord Jesus, but we got to talk about it. Proximity with the Lord does not exclude you from persecution.
Come on, Doug.
James, John, and Peter was his closest friends. They saw the transfiguration. They were invited to the garden. Personal space with the Lord. But it still did not give them a pass from persecution. Can I talk to the Western church that does not like the S word? Suffering. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus has overcome all of this. And in him, like Apostle Paul said, I can do all things, whether I'm high, low, persecuted, rich, whatever. I can do it all because of the one that lives in me. In this world, you will have trouble. James, the brother of John. Think about John. His brother being executed. This would have been horrible for the church. The first of the apostles to be martyred. And God knows how many other people were martyred. Y'all, as I look at the book of Acts, this is our family history. And I'm afraid that this kind of thing, you don't feel it in the Western church. But can I say, though, that we have brothers and sisters around this world that I personally know that can't gather in public from fear of persecution. Who were kicked out of their homes at 12 and 9 for believing in the Lord Jesus, the good news. But can I also say this, that when I am around them, joy emanates out of them.
Yes, sir.
How is that so? We are little p persecuted. And God isn't like excluding that or thinking that's lesser, but we got to actually face some things right now. We are not being presented with guns and machine guns as we walk in this building. I just read this morning in prayer of a testimony where a pastor was beat to protect his brother who had already passed away, because in that culture, the Hindu culture wanted to cremate him, which would have ruined his testimony. What is interesting in that place, that a tombstone is a testimony.
Wow.
His family can go and see that this man believed in the Lord Jesus. They were trying to erase his testimony. We don't think of anything like that here in the Western church. James, the brother of John, was executed with a sword. Verse 3. When he saw, it pleased the Jews. When he saw, it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter as well. Now these were the days of unleavened bread. Here's what's interesting. At least Saul has some sort of feeling that he was actually thought he was doing something to honor God. Herod was just evil. He was politically motivated. Can this be a warning during election season? That people will say whatever they need to say to get your gullible vote.
Wow.
And not even care about the thing that they said. Which is why the church has to be more loyal to the Lamb of God than a donkey or an elephant. I got to say that again. That is the Christian fellowship.
Come on.
No. Yeah. We are more loyal to the Lamb that was slain. Than a political party. Can we please remember what Pastor Recap showed us in Philippians? That our citizenship, though. Our citizenship is in heaven. Can we be truthful about even politics? We are aliens. I don't know about you, but it's been very difficult to even think about voting for anyone. So make sure that you are prayerful and that there is no idolatry politically in your heart. Because as we see in this text, and if we are humble, I think it happens in our day that people can do things from ill motives. Notice he found himself caring about the pleasing of the Jews and not even recognizing what he was doing. And we can turn our nose up at Herod But are there places in our lives where our apathy and complacency would make us be silent when we are supposed to stand up?
Preach.
There could be places where we may not say execute him, but we sure don't say the name of Jesus when the Lord is asking us to. Guilty as charged. Because of fear of what? Persecution. That's the thing about the Bible. We can't turn our nose up at the evil. They're evil. But there are things in me. There are things in us. Mm-hmm. That are anti the will of God as well.
Yeah.
Verse 4. When he had arrested him, he put him in prison, turning him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending only after the Passover to bring him before the people. Let me paint this picture of this maximum security prison. That is 16 soldiers guarding one man. 16. That's a little excessive. But if you know the lineage of Herods, they are extremely paranoid.
Yeah.
Which makes you do extremely excessive things. He was like, the granddad, kill every baby. Every firstborn. Excessive because of his paranoia. Bring him before, which literally is saying, my goal is to execute him. This is intense persecution. My question to us is, what do you do? What do we do with what we see in this world? It's nuanced for us. Well, we may not see this kind of stuff happening, but we are seeing people by the day get more bold in the denial of the Lord Jesus and the twisting of the scriptures and the flat out just not preaching of the scripture. I saw a Facebook post that literally made me want to just close Facebook for eternity. It was like, you know what? I'm good. I'm good. People are becoming bolder. Can we be honest for a minute? People are becoming more cold. We're getting perceptively to our own estimation wiser, but our hearts are getting harder. Then we have the interesting thing of people who's like, nah, I already know that. I already know that. I heard that when I was a kid.
Help us, Lord.
Yeah.
Help us, Lord.
We also have people that want the societal benefits of Jesus, but not his lordship. Where we are just like in the Gospels. No, you keep healing. You just don't do it in the name of Jesus.
Wow.
We like you from a social service aspect.
My Lord.
Do good things.
Yep.
Peace on earth. Goodwill to all men. We just don't want you as Lord. That is so prevalent.
Oh, God help us.
So what do we do with what we see? Let's look at what the early church did. And I pray that new creation is this kind of church. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made to God. What? Intensely by the church. They didn't have a meeting and say, let's go post bail. And I'm going to be honest, I probably wouldn't have wanted to see 16 soldiers. That is an intense persecution, which means we need something in more intense. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. But David said he trusted in the name of Yahweh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My question to us, Western Church, New Creation Fellowship, is when we see these intense things going on in the world and locally in this room, there are things going on to your left and to your right. The enemy is trying to take our kids. He's trying to destroy marriages.
Yeah.
But are we going to be provoked to pray?
Yeah.
My mom had one rule. She said, if y'all ever get in a fight, you better win. And she said, don't ever get in the fight until somebody put their hands on you. So one day, young, innocent Demetrius was sitting in the classroom in junior high. I am innocent, thank you. And there was this guy who just kept pestering. He was saying stuff. And I'm sitting up here muttering to myself, my mama said that they can say anything, just don't touch me. My mama said they can say anything, just don't touch me. My mama said, and I was meditating on that word because I was ready. You know, like, I wish I was holy like Paul now. Come out of them, Satan. I wasn't even on that. The bell rings, and you know, you got that little pit in your stomach, like you're like, okay, so let me do the responsible thing and walk fast. This person sped up, and then he pushed me. Ding, 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 ding. I used to watch WWE, too. And there was a fence. My God, today. But the thing I thought about as I looked at this text, I was provoked.
Yeah.
The enemy. It's just throwing hands all around. Is it going to provoke you to pray and do something about it? Or are you just going to sit still and sit silent and be like, the Lord will take care of it by and by? This early church said, no, 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 no. We feel the provoking of the devil, Satan himself. So we're going to go to the one that can defeat Satan, which is the Lord Jesus God Almighty. So the church intensely prayed.
Hallelujah.
The church intensely prayed.
Yeah.
And it wasn't silent. It was loud wailings like our Messiah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on.
Ooh, Jesus. And this is the need for perfect unity, because the sectors of Christianity that do this well, we call them radical.
Wow.
We need to learn from our Pentecostal brothers and sisters. We need to learn from our Latino brothers and sisters, our African brothers and sisters. The intensity of prayer in those cultures, it permeates.
Yeah.
And it stirs their affections and their faith in the Lord Jesus. Do you believe that he can actually deliver?
Yeah.
Do you believe that he can heal? Do you believe that he can save your family member? I'm talking about the resurrected Jesus who got up out of the grave bodily. Do you believe he still does miracles?
Yes.
I have seen it with my own eyes.
Yes.
I have tasted and seen.
Yeah.
And I will not allow old dead theologians to make me discount the work of the Spirit and what he wants to do. What he wants to do. What he wants to do amongst his people. The fact that you are sitting in this room shows how powerful he is. Yeah. Because your heart was hard.
Yeah.
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 And it became a heart of flesh.
Yeah.
You wasn't smart enough for that to happen. The Spirit opened your eyes.
Yeah.
Just like it did for Paul. The scales were removed from his eyes. Who was going to talk to Paul? Who had just left the meeting and literally said, I want permission to pull Christians out of their house, and it was granted.
Wow.
Which one of us gonna talk to Saul? But on a road, Jesus himself encountered Paul. Jesus himself. Jesus himself. There's some people that are so stubborn that Jesus himself is going to have to encounter them. You can't say enough good things. You can't have the best perfect theology. You can't sing the most powerful worship song. It takes Jesus himself to deliver people, like it took Jesus himself to save and deliver us. Will you be found praying, or will you be found worrying?
Wow.
Wow, that's good.
Come on.
That's a good word. Come on.
The need for prayer is as intense. We just don't feel it.
Wow.
I feel the presence of the Lord Jesus in this room.
Come on, wow.
Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Can I say something to the Western church? Will it take us having to be shot for us to be needy?
Wow.
Will it take us having near-death experiences for us to surrender? I say, Lord, please don't let it have to take that. Let me see my need. Let me see my need. That's the one thing we can learn from our Reformed brothers and sisters. Let us see our need for the Lord Jesus so that we know that we don't even have time to get up off our knees.
Yeah.
We are finding ourselves intensely praying.
Jesus.
My prayer is that we are in such koinonia in this room that we know what is going on in the lives of our brothers and sisters. And even when they don't have the strength to pray for themselves, that we will find ourselves intense in intercession for our brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
On the very night, verse 6, when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. So you got 16 soldiers, and he's tied between two soldiers. This is intense, right?
Yes.
But we got to remember, intense prayer, though, had been made for Peter. Peter is the same one that says, cast all of your anxieties on the Lord, for he cares for you. Homie was asleep on the night of his execution. Talk about peace that surpasses understanding. This sounds a little familiar, don't it? His Messiah and his Lord was sleeping when a boat was being rocked by a storm. Peter sleeping. Which shows a posture of confidence in his God.
That's good.
Can I ask us a question? When we are surrounded by guards and we are in chains, do we have a confidence in the Lord Jesus? The scriptures say, don't throw away your confidence. Do we believe in the power to rescue from our Lord Jesus? In Psalm 103, the one who rescued us from the pit. Do we believe that he still can rescue us from the pit? They were watching over him. Verse 7, and behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood near Peter, and a light shone in the cell. And he struck Peter's side and woke him, saying, get up quickly. And his chains fell off. Peter was so asleep that the angel had to strike him to wake him up. But notice, it didn't say Herod came to his senses and said, oh, Peter, I was just playing. There was an intense persecution, intense prayer, and what we see now is intense intervention by the one who broke himself in the prison. They didn't open the gate. His light shone. He got up and told Peter, get up quickly. And guess what happened? His chains fell off. His chains fell off automatically. Later in this text, he would take Peter, they would leave. And then it would say the gate was opened by itself. Talk about technology. The gate opened itself. Peter came to himself. It was like, okay, this is not flesh and blood. Like, this is me literally being encountered and rescued by the Lord. The church was so fervent in prayer that Peter shows up to the door and they don't even recognize that the answer has showed up at the door. May we be found praying so intensely that the answers just bump up and through us. Jesus the Christ. But Peter still had an enemy, though. Herod. God said, watch this. The people repeatedly cried out, the voice of a God and not of a man. And he got full of himself, and he already was full of himself. And the Bible said that because he did not give the glory to God, he was eaten by worms and died.
Help us, Lord.
My question to us in this room, my statement to us in this room, is that in everything we do, indeed and in this service, we do it as unto the Lord, giving glory to God the Father. We do not want glory here at New Creation Fellowship. It does not belong to us at all. We sang this morning, not to us, which is in the Psalms, but to you be all the glory. Because it is you who rescued us from the pit. It is you who rescued Peter from the prison. Not to us.
Glory to your name.
Wouldn't it be pride for us to boast in ourselves? Yo. My faith in God got me out of this prison. The chains fell, the gate opened. Because I'm Peter. Think about that. It's easy for our hearts. Do you know the thin line between pride and humility? If you think any of this, we say this to each other often as shepherds and pastors. If we think any of this is about us, I will let all of this go.
Right. Yeah.
I want no glory.
Yo.
We live in a culture that has influencers.
Oof.
Jesus.
And they're just posting and 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 posting every day. The algorithm, posting and posting and posting. But my question, are you praying and praying and praying and praying and praying so that you can be sanctified?
Jesus.
And not be an influencer, but a witness in a dying world.
Yes. Come on.
And there are many of us in this room that want to be that, though. But will we be found praying, holding on to faith in the Lord Jesus? Verse 24, but the word of the Lord continued to grow and to be multiplied. Let this teach us that no matter persecution, no matter pestilence, no matter diseases, no matter world crisis, the word of the Lord and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will continue to spread as it has already been continuing to spread. Heaven and earth may pass away, but his word will remain.
Thank you, Lord.
In this dying world, we got to remember that people are still coming to know Jesus.
Yeah.
And some of the worst places in the world, Christianity is growing leaps and bounds. Jesus is building his church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it.
Yes. Yes.
My question to us, though, will we participate in his mission through prayer?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Both personally in your own house, but according to this message, together as a body.
Yeah.
Are we, man, I'll say it, Lord. Are we people that pray?
Yes.
Or are we people of prayer?
Wow.
It's a difference.
Wow.
Does it take emergencies for us to be fervent? Or are we people that understand that not only do I need the Lord in an intense manner, my brother and sisters and those who will be future brother and sisters need the Lord intensely, so we will be found praying. And I'm so glad that when we fall short in the area of intercession and prayer, that we have an intercessor who never fails short, and he never will. He constantly went to the Father to pray. In John 17, he prayed for us. In Hebrews, we see him praying with a loud voice and wailing. We will fall short. But the good news of Jesus Christ is that he mediates when we fall short. And he's accomplished, everything he's accomplished is attributed to our resume.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the one
yeah.
who faced ferocious, intense persecution to the point of death on a cross. But there was an intense intervention. Yes, Lord Jesus. There was an intense intervention in that tomb. And on the third day, that man resurrected from the grave with all power in his hand. And that man called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, into a family that is called to fervent prayer. God has a plan and a mission for his church. We are emboldened by the same spirit that resurrected Jesus bodily from the grave. It lives inside of you and me. So that our prayers have power. I don't know about you, but I want to see this world know Jesus. I want to see this world encounter the gospel of Jesus Christ until my last breath. I want to be a person that prays and participates in the mission of God. My commission to us in this room is get off of your sofa watching Netflix and go into this dying world and tell them about the resurrected Jesus. Because they have a need for him. And you have a need for him. Let's pray. Father, thank you.